Shalom, everyone! You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh bless you. We've got a lot to cover today. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We already covered a bunch. These news events that are taking place. I hope you noticed that the wars, as John Bolton said, is to protect our oil. Did you get that? Everybody get that? All these wars we have fought will be in vain. All of them was to protect the oil. Look over to Revelation 6. All the wars we've fought could be in vain, he says. And all that money, trillions of dollars thrown away, if we don't win these next wars and take over this oil supply. Ah, oh, this is beautiful. Praise Yahweh. Revelation 6:3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second creature say, "Come and see." And there went another horse that was red, and power was granted to him that sat upon it to take peace from the earth. Of course, this is for the protection or taking over of the earth's oil supplies. That's what he just got through saying. All the wars we've fought is for that reason. And that's what the scripture said. Granted to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Then the next one, verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four living, this is the quartet, saying, "Measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. Don't hurt the oil." Don't hurt the oil. Oh, boy, what a beautiful thing. The quartet, I told you this years ago. And now they're admitting it. Reduce the population. Did you hear that? By down to 2 billion people. Where did you hear that before? That's what she said. Did you get it, everybody? Got to reduce the population down to 2 billion people. You know, when I brought this years ago, I don't remember when is the first time, but I think it was in the Mark of the Beast. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But I said there would be approximately 2 billion people left. When the four-fifths were killed, four-fifths of the earth's population, I said, would be wiped out. 2 billion people, approximately 2 billion people. We couldn't get the number. The calculators didn't go that high at that time. They may be better now. We may have to work on that scripture again, men. But they wouldn't go. They couldn't give us an exact number. Well, Yahweh said no man can count. So that's pretty true. The calculators can't count either, but the men that did the math, they said if 4/5 of the earth's population was wiped out, there wouldn't be 2 billion people left. Well, now there's 7 billion people. So all that's changed. Then the prophecy is getting ready to be fulfilled. Wipe 4/5 out and you'll have 2 billion left, approximately. Praise Yahweh. The next one was the missionary work that we got, and this is just one of them, going on in Africa. We got them scattered all over the world now, people talking to people. Oh, this is so beautiful. It just amazes me. And then, of course, if you turn over to, I believe it's in Amosha, and we've been bringing this now for some, Well, they said they think, our crew said they think it's since 1992, I've been bringing out the fact that all about 99% of the diseases is caused by STDs, caused by diseases that we, viruses that we have created in by crossing them in our bodies and in the bodies of animals, created STDs. And these STDs, of course, they live, they take up home in the human body and in that of animals. We showed you some of the animals. One of the men, two of the men showed this during the feast. The butcher and the Kohan that's over the butcher shop now, they showed you this during the feast and what it does to just one organ in the body of an animal. Of course, it works in all organs like it does in the human beings. But that is what's going on now and causing the diseases. And I've got an article that I'll get to it, I hope, showing the same thing now. And scientists knows this. They now know what we started bringing out at 1992, that would be about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago. Before it gets too sickening here, I better tell you about this Oakey lamb. This Oakey lamb is really special today. It's seared on a hot grill, and then it was sauteed in tomatoes and garlic and onion and bell peppers and a few hot peppers. We didn't put too many, but we put just enough. And then it was cooked till it's tender and juicy, and you're going to love that meal today. Well, back to that third thing. That third thing that was shown, Yahweh says in Amosha 3, in verse 11, he says, therefore, this is what Father Yahweh says. He tells about having no works except the seven works that he has prophesied first here. And then he tells that he is associating only with the 12 tribes that he brought out of Israel. That becomes more clear every time you read anything in the Holy Scriptures. You see hints of this throughout the Holy Scriptures. All the other nations, all the other heathen before them were destroyed. They can't blame someone else or some other mixture. I know they're saying one tribe was of Esau and the other tribes was of Israel. But Esau, it plainly says, was wiped out. Yahweh said he totally eliminated it. So that ends that argument, unless you just want to add your own. But you see this all through the Scriptures. So we have today the 12 tribes, which is a mixture of everything on earth, even animals now. And this is what you're going to see mandatory now taught in the schools. And we had to edit that film a great deal. I'm going to write about it and get this out in as fast as I can in the prophetic word or a newsletter. But the things that they're going to teach is every kind of evil, profanity that they can come up with between man and man and man and women and man and beast. We couldn't show it. We had to take it out. It would make you sick too. It'd make you sick probably just hearing me talk about it, but it is evil what is going to be taught in the schools. I have a hard time believing that President Obama will sign this, but I guess it's already a law in New York. You can only take your children out on certain things, take them out of school on certain things. The rest of it is a must, or you will they will be dismissed from school. Parents could be fined if they don't let them see and be taught how to do all of it. Anyway, it is very evil what is going to be taught. Well, this is what's bringing the land down, bringing the strength down, as Amos 3. Did I read that scripture? Amos 3. In verse 11, therefore, this is what Father Yahweh says, an adversary is surrounding the land. She will bring down your strength from you, and your palaces will be plundered. Now, of course, these sexual acts and STDs and diseases, that's what confuses the mind and is bringing down the strength, and it's a very reason that something like this would be shown to your child, and you have no choice but to let your child be shown these things in the schools. They taken away the rights of the parents to teach their children righteousness, and they're saying, no, this is what we're going to teach them instead of righteousness. Okay, go over to Malachi now. I read this to you before, but I've got to get this in your mind. What is taking place here in order to understand Shiloh and Shiloh come and so forth. But in 3, Malachi 3, in verse 9, 3 and verse 9, he says, you're cursed with a curse. It says the whole nation. Now get this in your mind also. So the witch's concoction of words that they use, and then the history that they try to make out like it's history. You know, there's a well-known saying that if you win the battle, you can write the history of that battle. Well, of course, that's what the Catholic Church has done. And as the commentators say, the Roman historians, they took delight in changing what they wanted to change and saying it the way they wanted it said in the history book. So what you're receiving is a bunch of lies. What you can base your life on, and I mean that literally, is what we're looking at here in our hands, the book of Yahweh, the instruction from the prophets, the prophets and apostles. But you're cursed with a curse, even this whole nation. That word nation is number 1471. Word heathen is number 1471. The word Gentile is number 1471. I get that. All you heathen, your strength is going down. Call yourself a Gentile or a German or a French or Greek or whatever you want to call it. You're a heathen if you don't follow these holy scriptures and don't believe them, and your strength is being zapped from you by what Satan is leading you into when you yield to her with your lust that she puts in front of you. And she's putting it in front of you daily now, and now it's going to be taught to the little children. Children as young as 11 years old are allowed to go without their parents' consent to the health department and get treated for STDs, for pregnancy, whatever they want to do, you know, they're free to do so. That too, they've taken it away from the parents, and the feds are being the judge, or the Catholic Church is being the judge. The Catholic Church, the Pope, the Popedom, as one of the commentators calls it, is running the world today, and they've been running it. They've been running it since the days of the Pharisees, in fact, and gaining control more and more. That Alexander the Great, you know, the kingdom, the great Roman Empire, they say, well, that was all destroyed. That's a lie. That's the goofiest lie ever put in history. It divided. It took over the whole world. You see traces of it all through the United States. All the laws that are passed today, the government is based on that Roman system that was set up by Nimrod first and then improved or changed down through the century. It divided, as Daniel said. It didn't hold together. It divided and went throughout the whole earth. The teachings and the practices, that's what it is. Okay, keep this in mind now that your strength is going down and that the whole earth, they're all heathen. That's the reason Yahweh said in the last days, I will establish my house. It was needful for him to establish his house because there was no house of Yahweh on the face of the earth until he established his house. And his house is bringing forth perfection and will bring forth perfection. And, of course, that's the Shiloh, but let me get into it in a different way here. In Genesis 49, let's go back there. I don't want to take a chance on missing something here. But Shiloh come. And if you look at verse 10, Genesis 49 and verse 10. Anyone can see how the world is going down. I mean, the diseases are all multiplying. Even if they were not going to have nuclear war, mankind would only survive for a short time the way the diseases are increasing. I'll read you an article on that in just a little bit. In Genesis 49, verse 10, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff from between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs and the obedience of the nations is his. Now, that's the way we translated it. The King James, as I brought out, and we should have left this word in there, but we didn't. But this is the word that everyone has trouble with because you can't get, now listen to me, everybody, listen, you can't get the definition of this word from a dictionary or a commentator. They don't understand it. And I hate to argue with dictionaries, but I do all the time. When we find them wrong and when we find history wrong, we also argue with that when we know it doesn't agree with the Holy Scriptures, and it doesn't even agree with the other nation's history of it or the other writer's history of it. We know something is wrong. But the King James says, the scepter shall not depart from Yada, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Well, of course, they translate that, or they say it, like one says, the word Shiloh, the Messiah, they say. Another one says the peaceful one till Messiah comes. So that ended it. No. In fact, he was the one that had to come and prove that he had right to this scepter of righteousness. And then his job began. And of course, Shiloh is still coming forth. But if you get this in your mind, that this was part of Shiloh, a peaceful one that would teach peace, that would teach peace. That's what Yahshua did. He would also die for the sins of the world. That was part of Shiloh coming, or as it should have been written, bring forth, as Shiloh brings forth, and we'll get the actual word Shiloh and how it's given in the scriptures and each place it's given and what it means in each one of the, that's the way you get it. First off, you've got to know the scriptures, and then you've got to start putting them together to see what Yahweh shows you. And I don't care what the dictionary says, what Yahweh shows you is what that word means. And there's nothing. Praise Yahweh. There's no way to understand what he's saying here in this prophecy, and this is a beautiful prophecy that just starts here and goes throughout the whole Bible, the whole book of Yahweh, 1 and 2, doesn't even end till you get clear through Revelations. In fact, the last part of Revelation is the finishing job of Shiloh coming forth, Shiloh bringing forth. Blessed are those who keep his laws, for they have right to the tree of life. The tree of life in Genesis 1. Got that? Tree of life. Tree of life, living forever. When mankind turned from Yahweh's laws, Yahweh, if you remember, set a guard to keep them then from partaking of eternal life. Why? Well, because if he had let them turn after they saw the trouble there's causing and turn and start repenting and turn to Yahweh and receiving eternal life, then it would spoil the whole plan here. You would have people down through the centuries that was going Satan's way, causing what we're seeing in the world today, while you're having others then agree with Yahweh and agree that this way is the way to peace, joy, and love. So Yahweh put a guard to keep them from partaking of the tree of life. He just shut them off. So that is why a person's got to be called by Yahweh, taken out of the system, and brought to his house to learn. And when that comes into your mind, he said, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. Go to the priest, then they will teach you the Shiloh to come. And you'll understand that perfectly about 10 sermons from now, maybe. Well, it does mean Shiloh, Messiah, peaceful one, comes, but it actually means, from scripture to scripture, it means a plan. It means a plan. It means a plan of seven works. It means to bring forth everlasting peace, abundant living, as Yahshua said. Yahshua said, actually said, that what we're going to suffer in the world is not worthy to be compared to what we're going to receive. All of these sufferings are going to be quickly forgotten. And if you notice, one of the first things that this brings forth, or the last things it brings forth here, is obedience of the heathen. The heathen. Now, a while ago we just read where all the heathen, that's the ones that are shut off from Yahweh, that's the ones that's not in the house of Yahweh, ones that are not called today, all the heathen, Yahweh said, their strength is going down, and they translated it nation, as if that just applied to Israel, the land, the tiny land of Israel. By the time that prophet spoke, which was about 700 B.C., Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, had almost totally taken over all the colonies of the earth that had spread out before them. And Yahweh said he's going to drive them out. He says the earth is going to vomit them up. They've already defiled the earth, he said. And he said, you're going to go in and inherit the land, and don't you do the same thing, or it'll do the same thing to you. And that's the reason today they're saying, there's a lot of study went into this fact. It's a fact right now, the way things stand, that the earth cannot support 7 billion people. The food supply, mainly the oil supply, can't support that many people. Now, we can sock on more fertilizers, but they know eventually that this commercial fertilizers will run out, but also it'll burn the land to where eventually that land is going to have to rest to get back to its original state. Yahweh has shown his house how to bring it back to that state. And praise Yahweh. We got the best method on earth and given to us by the Holy Scriptures. But the way the earth is right now, it could only go a little while longer without starvation setting in. And once starvation sets in, then this also brings more, it increases the sickness and disease. So the increase of cholera and related illnesses go with it. It lowers the immune system to where these STDs that they have in their bodies at this time has the ability to kill. So like a potato plant that is malnourished, or a tomato plant in the soil, of soil that can't raise tomatoes. It doesn't have that ability left in it to raise tomatoes. Quickly, the diseases set in, the bugs go in to destroy it, and so forth. Now, I learned long ago from a man named Rodell. He wrote a magazine called Prevention at that time. He came to a meeting that I came to also and talked to him and asked him questions, but he had demonstration fields set up, and he would actually have a row of depleted land, or a few rows, then a few steps away he would have the land that was rebuilt to where it would support plants. And he proved that bugs would not bother the plants where they were healthy, fully healthy. It would not bother them, but it would completely destroy the others. Remember that, because we're going to rebuild the earth. Praise y'all. Now, in this, he said, the obedience of the nations. If you'll go over to Deuteronomy 31, Deuteronomy 31, Yahweh shows you here, if you just pay attention to the 12 tribes, he's dealing with the 12 tribes. He's not dealing with the heathen that would be separate from the 12 tribes. There is no heathen left that are separate from the 12 tribes. Even biology proves this. I don't know why history keeps this words, keeps these lies going in the classroom. I guess to deceive. That's the only reason I can see, because it doesn't even prove true by their own test, their own proof. But in Deuteronomy 31, now, he says in verse 27, he says, "For I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you have been rebellious against Yahweh this day, while I am yet alive and with you, then how much more will you rebel after my death?" Now, this is, of course, Moshe speaking here. And if you this right here occurred in 1451. He wrote this to these people. He said this to these people, and this was written. If you want to make a note at the side of that verse, BCE 1451. If you wanted to go back to Exodus 12, which occurred in 1491, you can see 40 years after Exodus 12, Exodus 12 was when Moshe first started teaching under the priest Jethro, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and started teaching them the laws of Yahweh. Well, 40 years later, doesn't it look like that they should have improved some? Well, now remember what I told you about cutting them off from the tree of life. Yahweh gave them his laws, taught them his laws, but they didn't accept his laws like people tend to believe, and the Christianity, they take delight in saying, you know, those people followed the law. They didn't follow the laws. Not anywhere down the line. 40 years later, he's saying, even while I'm with you, you're stiff-necked and rebellious. That was 40 years later. If you look on over to 1 Samuel, here we have a righteous priest that Yahweh set up that had a circuit that he went to throughout the land of Israel, of course, by the time Samuel was on the scene. Most of the people, especially the young people, had grew up, wanted no part of it, spread out to other nations, started colonies, started forming armies, and, of course, went to war against the weaker peoples of the lands. Killed them, took their land. But 1 Samuel 15, I don't know what I said, but it's 1 Samuel 15. And notice verse 22. Now, Samuel, this 1 Samuel 15 was written in 1087 BCE. 1087. And he says here in verse 22, then Samuel said, has Yahweh a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Now, he was speaking to a king here, a king who was over Israel, and people were supposed to follow his example. And Samuel is saying, you are disobeying. He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is what we see that's supposed to come forth and is going to come forth from Genesis 49, verse 10. He said, obedience of the heathen, obedience of the nations, obedience of the Gentiles, whichever words you want to use, they're going to be obedient once Shiloh comes forth totally. 2 billion of them are going to be obedient. Now, in 1 Samuel here, 15:22, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen, that word should be hearken, than the fat of rams. To obey, it's everything. If you won't obey Yahweh, you won't be a part of his kingdom. That is an absolute fact. And when you're told to do something, as Saul was told to do, just given a simple command, first off, don't bring any of those animals back with you. Don't do this. Well, he didn't tell him, those animals are diseased. We don't want them in this flock. We want to try to straighten up our flock. We're supposed to bring cleanliness to the land. He could have went in and talked to him for 5 days trying to explain to this rebellious, stiff-necked attitude. But if you don't obey, if you're not obedient, you won't make it. Notice what he said to Saul here. And that's what we're going to receive out of 2 billion people, obedience. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's sin. Rebellion is sin. And stubbornness is the same as iniquity. It's the same as doing away with the law. Stubbornness. It's the same. Either you humble yourself, as Yahshua said, or you won't be part of this. 2 billion people are the ones that lead the 2 billion people into obedience. You can't rebel and teach obedience, right? Your action speaks louder than words. Iniquity is doing away with Yahweh's laws, as Isaiah 24 showed. It's also God worship. It's following this one that is bringing your strength down, as Omosha showed. There's a power surrounding the land. That power, of course, is deception, but it's also coming forth now from radio waves, which we saw before Satan was cast down. She was queen of the radio waves. That was one of the one of her names before she was cast down. And she was actually sending radio signals that no one could understand. They never did figure it out. But it was sent to the earth even, coming clear to the earth. And it was the strongest radio station in the universe that they are aware of, that she had control of. Well, now she has television. She has the schools. The Vatican has seen to it that they own all the schools in the land they control. Now, where they don't own the schools, where they don't have control of the land, they're fastly trying to take it over. Where there's a king like there was in Egypt saying, no, I don't want that here. Well, he's no longer king. Where there's a king like Gaddafi, he doesn't exist anymore. Speaking of that, I don't know if you saw the news. Did we show that where Hillary, we didn't show that where Hillary Clinton was laughing? Okay, we'll show it next week. But I want you to see that there's no natural affection anymore. The love has grown cold, and we're going to bring that next week. The love of the world has grown cold. They take delight in fighting and war and death, even beating the man's dead body, brutalizing it after he was dead and before he died, and sodomy, of course, too, on this man before he finally died, maybe after he died. All of these evil, wicked things, brethren, is coming forth from the 12 tribes that was shown in Genesis 49, just exactly like the prophet said it would for the last days. For their pleasure, they hamstrung an ox. I wouldn't even bring that out, you know. You're going to have to study it for yourself to find out what it means. It's like showing these pictures of acts that took place. And this was in the film. We just cut it out. But it's going to be shown. It's being shown now throughout the world. And the people can glory in it. In fact, Hillary Clinton was laughing about this, going there, seeing the body and laughing about it. How in the world can anyone have any love at all? Well, she doesn't. She doesn't even know what love is. She takes delight in the death of a man that took care of a nation for about 50 years, being a father to everyone there for about 50 years, in a land that wanted to take over, of course, and put what they call freedom there, where the children can be taught how to sin and how to cause diseases and kill themselves. Well, of course, he says, this is the worship of the gods that Yahweh said when Adam and Eve sinned. He said, they've become as the gods. So cut off life from them, and then we will pick out the ones we want to bring Shiloh through. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh. Now, this is Samuel. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he also has rejected you from being king. You want to be a king in the kingdom? But notice what Saul said. There's some pressure being put on me, he said. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Yes, I know I've sinned because I have transgressed the commandment of Yahweh, and your words are by breaking your words, your command that you gave me, because I was more afraid of the people and I gave in to them. Some excuse. Well, my wife told me to do that and I did it. Had to. She's the boss. Well, Samuel said, because you have done this, Yahweh has rejected you, and I'm not going any further with you. Well, this now was in 1087. This was 404 years after Exodus 12. You don't see any obedience here, is what I'm trying to point out. And of course, before that now, in 1 Samuel 8, we see all the elders of Israel disobeying, going in disobedience against Yahweh and saying, we don't want him to rule over us. Well, one of the kings that didn't want that, of course, I guess, was Saul. In Isaiah now, I'd skip part of this, but you can find it in every book, but go over to Isaiah, Isaiah 1 first, the first chapter. Now, this Isaiah was written in 760 BCE, and he says in chapter 1 and verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah. And he says, hear, O heavens, verse 2, and give ear, O earth, for this is what Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. He's speaking of Judah and Jerusalem, but also speaking of the 12 tribes of Israel, what was left in the land of Israel. The ox knows its owner, the donkey knows its owner's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider, he says. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who are corrupt, or corruptors, they are corruptors, like the Catholic Church today, who teaches against Yahweh's laws, has control of all the schools in America, has control of the municipal systems in America. It would be hard, extremely hard, for a president, even if he was a righteous man of Yahweh, to actually overcome any of this, what is going on, and not go along with the tide that is set right now. Those schools were set up in America back in the days right after Columbus, right after that lie was told that he was the first to discover America. But those schools and the government, the municipal systems were set up under, of course, the Catholic guideline. There, it just so occurred that Yahweh put enough people in who had come here from Europe and had seen what was going on there in the distressful situation that the people were having to live under, and they couldn't practice a religion. Of course, there was enough fighting going on in Europe at that time to bring about allowance or the law to allow people to own a Bible. Because before that, there was actually a law that you could not own a Bible or a manuscript or practice anything in the Holy Scripture. And if they caught you practicing it, they accused you of being a witch. Like they did the so-called witch doctors. Witch doctors that you heard about, these Indian witch doctors? Well, it so occurs that those witch doctors were people who practiced curing people with herbs, vitamins, putting them on the right diets. Well, these were witch doctors with their own concoctions. They weren't following the laws of the drug land. They didn't use drugs. So they were classified as witches, and of course they killed them as fast as they could, get them out of their way to keep them from teaching anything righteousness or holy, anything from the Holy Scripture. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked. Now, this is the 12 tribes, brethren, and this is Judah and Jerusalem at that time, with life or the tree of life shut totally off from them. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. That's written wrong. Yahweh is not angry. He doesn't get angry. They have gone away backwards, separated. Why would you be stricken anymore? Why would you revolt more and more? Notice the word stricken. This is stricken with disease epidemics. The same thing that we're seeing in the world today. So this is how far they had gone or taken what they had brought from Egypt with them, as Samuel said, as Yahweh told Samuel. They've been rebellious ever since I brought them out of Egypt, he said. Well, these were their children and their children's children, down to about the fourth generation here. Well, and they were still being stricken at that time with disease epidemics. Why would you be stricken anymore? Why don't you turn from this so Yahweh will heal you? That's what we're saying today. That's what I've been saying now for 50 years here in this wilderness. Why would you revolt more and more, he said. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up, nor soothed with ointment, meaning there are ointments that Yahweh shows, oils and so forth that can be used. But, of course, that is a concoction of a witch. That's what they want you to believe, and they're trying to knock all of that out, too. The days that this was written was 7 BCE, 760, at 691 years after Exodus 12. In Isaiah 24, he actually shows that this will bring about the end of the world. So I don't think we need to go after this part, because he's showing that this rebellion here and what it does. He says, behold, Yahweh makes the earth empty, or allows it to become empty. So we're seeing here a depopulation of 4/5 of the earth's population. And as the woman says, we're going to get rid of enough to bring it down to 2 billion people. That's the only way the earth can survive. I hope y'all caught that. Better play that again next week, okay? Behold, Yahweh allows the earth to be empty and made waste, perverts the face of it, and scatters abroad the inhabitants. And it will be as with the people, so with the priest, and with the servant, so with the owner, with the maid, so with the mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the one that borrows, as with him who takes usury, so with him who gives usury to him. The land will be utterly emptied and utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. Now, he was not saying, I'm going to do this. He says, your ways that you are practicing is bringing this about. We see it now. We're in the last days, as Isaiah shows here, and we see every bit of this taking place. It's even broadcast on the news, but no one in the world has sense enough to see what's taking place. They don't even know this is happening to them. They think everything is glorious and fine. I've got my buttons here in front of me that I can punch and gaze into them till my brain goes dead. And that's all they care. The earth mourns and fades away, and nobody is noticing what is taking place except the house of Yahweh. The world mourns and fades away, and the haughty people of the earth languish. Yes, they're going down. Their strength is coming down, as Amoshah said. The earth also is defiled. This is the reason for it, the defiling of the earth. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant, because of this, the curse, you're cursed with a curse. Cursed with a curse. Even the whole Gentile nation, the whole heathen nations, whatever you want to call them, they're cursed. And that is what's bringing them down and making the earth mourn, has devoured. Now, if you put this together with what Malachi said about tithing is one of the ways that Yahweh's house speaks out through the tithing. That's what pays to have to send his work out in these last days, always have, to pay pastors or teachers or judges or so forth, righteous ones, to keep Yahweh's judgments, Yahweh's laws being taught. And when that was shut off and those people pushed back and killed or pushed back into a single place like Galilee, they were pushed back out of the cities, persecuted until they ran. And Galilee was the only place that Yahweh's laws was being taught. And Malachi says, you're cursed with a curse because you're cutting off Yahweh. You're cutting off the means of reaching and bringing forth the words that would stop you from mourning and suffering anymore, he said. Why would you do this to yourselves anymore, he said. Well, they've cut off. Satan has cut this off, the teaching, from the rest of the land. So without the complete teaching, no one understood why they had to do this or that, why they had to be obedient. Because of this, the curse has devoured the earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and about 2 billion people left. See that? Isn't that beautiful? Burned and about 2 billion people left. This was 700. That was 760 years later. This was written in 760 BCE. And 760 years later now, 760 years later, go over to Yahshua. Yahshua came 760 years after Isaiah said the end is going to be just like this, and named it, and showed you that few men would be left. Matithiah 17:17. That is not coming back to me. 17:17. And Yahshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse. Remember that perverse, because it means the same thing as profaneness. Remember Jeremiah 23:15, where he says, I'll wait on you. What did I say? It's Matithiah. I did say Matithiah, 17:17. Matithiah 17:17. Well, Yahshua now is saying here, this is 760 years later, 760 years after the prophecy there in Isaiah 24, and Yahshua now is come on the scene, and he is preaching to the same ones, Judah and Jerusalem, those who are still in charge of that and still had the Galileans push back to an unwanted land, a God-forsaken land. And Yahshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse. Now that profaneness, it means the same thing as profaneness has gone out to all the land, all the world, in fact, is what that word meant. From you, the priest and prophets of Jerusalem, not the priests and prophets of Yahweh, but they were in Galilee, but the priests and prophets of Jerusalem, from you, profaneness has gone out to all the land. Well, here Yahshua now, 760 years after that, says, O faithless and perverse generation. This faithless, it means not following the faith given to you by Yahweh. Well, of course, Malachi said it was starved out, cut off, persecuted, pushed back, and so forth. That's what the prophet showed. So there wasn't any there. And Yahshua said, this is how this 12 tribes stand here today. How long will it be with you? How long must I be patient with you? Bring him here to me. Well, that's going on to something else. But notice, faithless and perverse generation, Yahshua said. Now, in Mark 8, in verse 38, you got to get this one because Mark gives a different word here that we're going to be seeing in the history and the prophecies and so forth, that Shiloh fights against. That's part of Shiloh coming or Shiloh bringing this in. In Mark 8, verse 38, therefore, whoever is ashamed of me or my words, my teaching of the laws and the prophets, in this adulterous, get that now, because it means adultery, but it also means God worship. And sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. Now notice he calls it an adulterous and sinful generation that he's in right there. That's the 12 tribes, Judah and Jerusalem. Does that sound like they were keeping the laws of Yahweh? You know, Christianity lies a lot. And in fact, their total teaching is lies. And they would have you believing that these people were kept the laws of Yahweh, and they were strict keepers of the laws of Yahweh, and they persecuted Yahshua because he wouldn't keep the law. Whereas Yahshua and Yochanan was teaching them the laws, that's why they killed them, both of them. Cut off John's head and hung Yahshua on a stake. Well, in Luke 9, verse 41, he says, then Yahshua answered and said, a faithless and perverse generation. Again here, through Luke, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Well, he was getting a little bit aggravated at that time, but I think Yahshua knew how long he would be with them. How long he would have to put up with them. And he's still putting up with them and loves every minute of it, but he had to write that. he didn't suffer some of the things that I'm suffering. They didn't have the telephones back then. So he could go off and be by himself. I bet he could even take a nap sometimes and without his phone ringing. Well, may the peace of Yahweh bless you. I love you, and be sure and be here next week. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.